Hey there, this is Tony Brewer. I'm the Keto Christian Podcaster, and you're listening to Cogitations. Cogitations is the podcast where we think about things, we contemplate about them, we turn them over in our minds, and then we talk about them. Daniel chapter 7, verse 28, Daniel writes, "Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart." We're not going to keep the matter in our heart. As we said earlier, we're going to talk about it. And today we're going to talk about angels and miracles. And a lot of times whenever you see some kind of content out there from a minister of the gospel or something else or somebody from the Lord's church, you're typically going to look at a podcast that's dealing with some myths surrounding angels and modern day miracles in relation to modern times. This is not what that's going to be about. I had a viewer question ask me about if angels were able to do miracles. And I have to, it's one of those things that kind of made me, I was able to pull up in my mind a few examples, and I was able to definitively say, yes, they are. And so anyway, that's what the podcast today is going to be about. Angels doing miracles, because we don't typically think about angels being servants of God or agents of God with an innate ability to do things. And I guess I've got three examples here. And incidentally, hello, Brandon Brunch, and hello, Sheila Coe. It's good to see you. I have three categories here. And if you find more, please let me know. I've never thought about this. So I literally took carved some time out of my day, maybe 45 minutes to an hour, and perused some scripture, spent some quiet time in thinking, and got to thinking about the different things we see angels doing, you know, some of those famous ones. And so angels can, if I'm not saying that they're limited to this, but angels can perform miracles as through the idea of agency. In other words, they're functioning as an agent of God. So perhaps maybe God's working through them or with them, in other words, using them as a tool, kind of like the people with spiritual gifts in the New Testament. Let's quickly go there so I can make my point here. The book of Mark. Where are you, Mark? Sorry, this is a new Bible and it don't turn exactly where I'm just. It's not automatic, so bear with me. There we go. There's Mark. I love this new Bible, by the way. This was given to me as a gift. Hello, Grant Robinson. Good to see you. All right. 19 and 20. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, this is chapter 16, verses 19 and 20. After the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. So the Lord was working with the apostles. And of course the apostles were agents of God endued with power, from the Holy Ghost. So I'm sure there were times where they were functioning as agents. So they had power because of agency. And then they were also endued with power. But the apostles really didn't have any innate power. So it looks like angels have some power of agency, some innate power, and some endued power. In other words, they have the ability over of miraculous manipulation of God's creation. And again, you may find several other categories might come to your mind or something like that. You just let me know and let me know what you find. Let me get into the We Talk Truth group as well. Good afternoon to those of you that are watching the We Talk Truth group. I don't give y'all a shout out because we try to keep this group as private as we can. But I'm so thankful to all of you that are watching this afternoon. Let's go to the first one that I have. Let's go to Numbers 22, verse 18. No, Numbers 22, verse 28. And the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said unto Balaam, "What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times?" And Balaam said unto the donkey, Because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in mine hand, for now would I kill thee. So this angel was barring the way of Balaam. Balaam was going to be going to somewhere he shouldn't have been going to, and God was angered, sent an angel, and the donkey saw the angel. Now, it would appear that there were two things that were going on here that were miraculous, and they were functioning. This angel functioned under the agency, had this miraculous ability under the agency of God. Let me get back to the text. Notice what it says in the text, that the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey. We understand the agency concept. Was it the Lord opening the mouth of the donkey directly, or was it the Lord working through the vessel of the angel? I understand that there's a small amount of conjecture here, but I think it's warranted here. It would appear that the angel was working here. So anyway, I can see where this is a miracle of agency, where God used the vessel and worked through the angel and used the angel as a tool to perform this miracle on the donkey. Also, the fact that the donkey could see a being, a celestial being, the fact that the angel had the power to manifest itself in this physical realm, that is a miracle as well. So we see how just from a cursory glance, we see that, yes, angels have the ability to do miracles. All right. So there's one. Let's go next to 1 Kings 19. I may have that marked. 1 Kings 19:35. Oh, I don't have that marked. That's in Psalms. All right. Again, bear with me. This Bible don't turn like the other. 1 Kings 19. What'd I say? 35. And here we go. 1 Kings 19:30. I bet it's 2 Kings. That's what I get for taking shoddy notes, isn't it? I jotted this down just a while ago. 2 Kings 19:35. Yep, it's 2 Kings 19:35. Good afternoon, Connie Bardens. Good to see you. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. That's worded rather humorously, if you think about it. These people woke up dead. That's not what the text is saying. Sometimes your pronouns and your antecedents get all squirrely when you're translating from Hebrew to English or Greek to English, or especially from Hebrew to Greek to English. Anyway, so this angel went out into the camp of the Assyrians. Sennacherib Sennacherib had Hezekiah shut up like a bird in a cage. And the angel of the Lord went into the camp of the Assyrians, and we humorously say that 185,000 men woke up dead. I think history tries to write this off that mice came in and ate at all the leather joints and stuff of their armor, and their ate up their bowstrings and stuff. Well, we know what happened. This angel of the Lord went out and smote the camp of the Assyrians. Now, 185,000 casualties here. So to me, this looks like innate power. In other words, this looks like something that we are seeing. The angel is doing something that is, that the power is coming from some innate ability in himself. I just read it this way. Again, we're kind of in the land of conjecture here. So doesn't it seem that way, that he's obviously functioning in agency, but it seems like this angel has done something of his own power. I mean, these are powerful heavenly beings. They are way more powerful than you and I. So it would seem that this angel came and smote the camp of the Assyrians, and this was a show of innate power. Now, if if a man went out and smote his opponent and his opponent died, that wouldn't necessarily be a miracle. But I say to you that because this angel smote the camp of the Assyrians and 185,000 died, that this was some type of miracle. And we don't know exactly how they died. I mean, they could have died from a sickness. They could have died because this angel had a big old fire sword and was swinging that sword, whatever. But it seems to me that this is innate ability or power, or this seems to me that it's power innate to the angel himself. To kind of follow this golden or this thread, go to Genesis 32. Genesis 32, verse 25. Let's see, where am I at? Well, that's Genesis 31. No wonder it looked funny. Here we go. That looks better. Genesis 32, 25. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. So basically, Jacob and an angel are wrestling. And Jacob is wrestling with the angel, trying to get a blessing from him. The angel is just pretty much toying with him. And when the angel gets tired of toying with him, he touches his thigh and his thigh comes out of joint. Again, by virtue of the fact that this is a celestial being on the physical plane of existence, I call this a miracle because it's not natural. Anything that a celestial being does on this plane of existence, it's miraculous because it defies nature. There's nobody in the world strong enough to be able to touch someone and their thigh come out of joint. I don't care what Hollywood tells you. I don't care what videos you see of Bruce Lee doing that stupid 1-inch punch on the internet. It's not possible to just touch somebody and their joint come out of socket. So again, this looks like innate power to the angel. They're just powerful beings. So we've looked at an angel using the power of agency, God working through them. We've seen angels using innate power of themselves, it seems to me. And then let's look at angels using endued power. And I'll tell you why I think this is angels using endued power whenever we get there. Of course, it's Daniel chapter 6. And y'all all know we're going to the lion's den. Let's see. Oh, no. Again, bear with me. I'm used to my Bible just flipping right to it. Well, where's Daniel? I know where he is, but should be after. There we go. Daniel chapter 6. What have I got? Verse 22. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the lion's den, into the den of lions. Them, their children, shouldn't be, that's, I read 24, 22. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me, forasmuch as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. So the angel of the Lord came when Daniel was in the lion's den, and Daniel was comforted because the angel of the Lord shut up the lion's mouths. Again, I would say that this isn't really a show of strength from the angel himself. This isn't really God working through the angel because the text tells us that the angel shut the mouth of the lions. So I would say this is endued power, that in this moment, the angel was endued with power, with miraculous power over the creation of God, over God's creation. Jesus did miracles, the miracle of turning the water into wine. Jesus had power to exercise control and miraculously manipulate God's creation. So what I have right here, it seems to me, is an angel that has a power to manipulate God's creation that come from himself, but it certainly isn't innate. I wouldn't think that angels would be created with the innate ability to have this power over nature, because that would mean that they could possibly have the power of creation. So only the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have the power of creation. Anything else is just has the ability to supernaturally manipulate the power, the creation itself, and that would have to be given them by God. Okay. Again, we're assuming that the rules for miracles works the same for angelic beings, celestial beings, as it does for beings bound to this plane of existence. And listen, I don't think that anybody's going to hear this podcast and go out and obey the gospel because of some great piece of information they've heard here. But this is cogitations. This is what the podcast really is all about. One of our listeners was just thinking about these things. So she asked me, and then I kind of developed it into what you've heard here. Now, anyway, let's leave that part of the podcast and let's go into what about today? You know, a lot of people talk about guardian angels and seeing angels and stuff like that. I'm going to tell you, I've put out hours and hours of content talking about how you're not going to see an angel today. God has reserved his work to the realm of providence. It's either God's work is unrevealed, it's a mystery in the realm of providence, or God's will is carried out. The power of God's will is carried out through the agency of his word. So if Christians are in the world doing the will of God, that's how God's will is carried out in the world. But let's go to something. This is very interesting. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, and I think along about verse 12. Galatians, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, that's supernatural, against powers, supernatural, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, supernatural, against spiritual wickedness, supernatural. You know, one of the reasons why I know all of those are supernatural is because the location of the wrestling and the location of the principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, a spiritual wickedness, it's in high places. All right. Absolutely. Eric Hedden says, providence is not a word common to the Bible, but the concept runs throughout all scripture. Well, yeah, well, think about the book of Esther. God is not directly mentioned in the book of Esther, but I think it's pretty awesome that when Mordecai is trying to convince Esther to go in there to the king and speak on behalf of the Jews to try to get the genocide, the impending genocide stopped that came by the manipulation of Haman, that Mordecai said, don't think that you're going to be safe. The rescue, he didn't say rescue. I can't remember what he said, but basically deliverance will come, but it's not going to come to your house. I think that's a reference to the Messiah. You see, Esther Esther was not of the tribe of Judah. So the only tribe that God had to save alive from that genocide that come about by the manipulation of Haman was the tribe of Judah, and he could still keep his promise. So I think that's just awesome. It's amazing. So when I look at it, Ephesians 6:12, we are embroiled in a spiritual warfare. Well, I'm not in the spirit realm. Can you see me? Well, then I'm not in the spirit realm. So what exactly does that mean? I tell you how somebody I trust explained it. First off, he went to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, the very end of it, verses 13 and 14. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Now, if I remember correctly, let's see, let me go in here. Yeah, that's Psalm 110. Anyway, that's angels. That's ethereal beings. That's not just simple messengers that could be humans. We're talking about angels. All right. So to which of the angels did he say at any time, sit here at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And he's talking about these angels. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Somehow or another, these angels are sent to minister to the children of God through Christ Jesus. We don't know how that happens, all right? But wait, there's more. Let's go to the book of Matthew and notice something interesting. We're going to go to the end of Matthew 25, and I never can remember this actual verse. Let's see. Bear with me. I'll find it here. Verse 41, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So let me tell you again, this is how it was explained to me. The devil has angels. The devil works in the world somehow today because Ephesians chapter 6, we got to put on this whole armor of God so we can stand against the wiles of the devil. Jesus has angels that are ministering spirits sent to help them and protect them who would be heirs of salvation. So it was explained to me that if you, Gene Bailey, I sure will. Give me a minute. If you don't hear me, send me a message and make sure I do a cogitations podcast about it. I take a zipper and I unzip and I look into the unseen realm, and what I would see would be a battle between the angels of Satan and the angels of Christ. And we don't know exactly what they're doing. The angels of Satan are doing something in order to ensnare us and cause us to lose our souls. You know, you may have a particular problem with alcohol. So you may be, you've beat alcohol. You're 10 years sober. You've been using the same route to go back and forth from home to work every day for 10 years. And then all of a sudden, they put a honky-tonk up on your route home. That's a devil working, folks. If you don't think the devil works in this world, you just don't believe the Bible. And if the devil works in this world, then somehow or another, the angels sent from Jesus to help those who would be the children, the heirs of righteousness, those servants, ministering spirits, mitigate their force. Now, go ahead and ask me how that happened. How that happens. I don't know. It's not revealed unto us. It's not for us to know everything. Deborah O'Neill, we learned that in Kings, whenever God showed, Well, now you got me questioning, Elijah or Elisha? I think it's Elisha. He saw that unseen realm. Listen, I don't care what anybody says. I have no reason to believe that if my eyes were to be miraculously opened right now to that unseen realm, I would see exactly what that servant saw. And that makes me a little bit bold. Let's end this up. For Gene here, Hebrews 13:2. I've got an explanation that I've never heard anybody use before, and to me, it just makes so much sense. Well, now come on, y'all remember where I put Hebrews? Bear with me. I knew I put it right before James. I can't wait till this Bible gets a little wear and tear on it and gets all floppy and stuff. All right, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels in their underwear. No, that's not what it says. Basically, what the text is saying, this is brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them. This is just some bullet points of how to keep the faith and what to do. To me, it kind of goes back to pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, to keep yourself unspotted from the world. Christians are always supposed to be doing something and are always supposed to have a willingness to help people in need. Now, the problem is, and now look, I love my King James Version of the Bible. They shouldn't have used angels here. Angels is a transliterated word. All it means is messengers. Apostle is a transliterated word. I can't find it off the top of my head. I think it's in Acts 14 or 15, maybe 14, could be 13. Just go read the book of Acts. You'll find where Paul and Barnabas are both called apostles. Barnabas was not an apostle the way Paul was an apostle. So basically, I know that that word apostle doesn't apply to Paul as in his being specially called by Jesus with this power from the Holy Ghost to impart the ability to do the miraculous on someone, that they're just talking about Paul and Barnabas as being those who are sent. The text is describing Paul and Barnabas while they've been sent out on a missionary journey. We see this again. I'm going to have to look it up electronically because I never can get it. I think it's Matthew 12. Anyway, let me do this. Let's go. Let me just do a New Testament word search for messengers. M-E-S-S-E-N-G-E-R-S. Right, it's Luke 7:24. When the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went ye out in the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? This word messengers here is the word angel, the same Greek word as used in Hebrews 13:2. What you're looking at, whenever you're looking at Hebrews 13:2. Okay, so whenever you could be killed for being a Christian, especially in Jerusalem during the persecution, you may, as Paul did with Ananias and with Aquila and Priscilla, the way Paul did with Aquila and Priscilla, you may go because you're brethren of nation. Like he could tell Aquila and Priscilla were Jews. So he went and said, hey, you're a Jew, I'm a Jew. Let's build tents together. Now, by and by, they learned he was a Christian, but he didn't start out with that. So if you're traveling, I would urge you, this is the Hebrews writer to the people, the Hebrew Christians, as you were going about your day-to-day life, if you see a stranger that is in need, I would urge you to entertain that stranger in your home. Give him a night to sleep. Give him a night of sleep and some food, because you may find out that he is actually a messenger, one of God's messengers. He may be a traveling preacher of the gospel. He may be sent from one church to another. You know, the letter of Colossae to the church in Colossae was supposed to be read at Laodicea as well. Well, what if you're a Jew and the person that's carrying that letter is also a Jew, and they stop in a town and you know this person's a Jew and you're seeing him, and you're like, look, excuse me, but you look like you don't have a place to sleep tonight and you look like you need some food. Yes, brother Jew, I do need a place to sleep and I need some food. Well, won't you come to my house? You know, you've been so hospitable. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. And I just want to let you know that, I'm a Jew who now follows the way of the Messiah. Well, turns out you follow the way of Messiah. So you entertained a stranger. You entertained a messenger sent on a special mission from one church to another. And you entertained that angel unawares. You entertained that messenger unawares. I don't think we need to kind of mysticize that too much. You and I are never going to entertain in our home a celestial being about like the ones about which we read today, like the angel that opened the mouth of Balaam's donkey, or that smote the 185,000 Syrians, or that shut the mouth of the lions, or that argued with Moses. Or argued with Satan over the body of Moses, stuff like that. You're never going to talk to anybody that has done that. You're never going to talk to any angel like that, rather, is what I'm trying to say. So, hope that answers your question, Gene Bailey. Hopefully to the person that gave us this Cogitations podcast in the first place, hopefully this kind of gives you some more to think about and some aha interesting moments. And look, with these three categories, agency, innate power, and endued power, Balaam's donkey, 185,000 Syrians, and the Daniel in the lion's den, y'all may see it a different way. I'm absolutely open to that. I'm not dying on that hill. That's just the way I see it, and I thought it would make an interesting Cogitations episode. So that being said, I really appreciate your good time and attention. And this has been Tony Brewer. I'm the Keto Christian Podcaster. And if you like what we do and want to help us out, www.patreon.com/nearchurches. And other than that, like, subscribe, and share everything that you see. Catch us on Podbean. Just go to Podbean, go to Apple Podcast, go to Spotify and TuneIn Radio and just type in Cogitations. And our podcast should come up, and you can like, subscribe, and share from there. Gene Bailey, you're welcome very much. God bless y'all, and we will catch y'all on the flip side.